Dear family and friends of St. Kieran's, please join us for our weekend devotion as we talk about the signs of life a church should have. And so let's pray. O God, we pray that as Scripture is read and your word proclaimed, that you, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to us a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him, and that the eyes of our hearts may be enlightened. For we ask it in his name. Amen. Our reading for today is from Colossians chapter 1, verse 1 to 14, and I'm reading from the NIV. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy our brother, to the holy and faithful brothers in Christ at Colossae, grace and peace to you from God our Father. We always thank God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ when we pray for you, because we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love you have for all the saints, the faith and love that springs from the hope that is stored up for you in heaven and that you have already heard about in the word of truth, the gospel that has come to you. All over the world, this gospel is bearing fruit and growing, just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard it and understood God's grace in all its truth. You learned it from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on our behalf, and who also told us of your love in the Spirit. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you and asking God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. And we pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, and joyfully giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Just to there, and may God bless his word to us today and always. Our text for today begins with a wonderful introduction as the Apostle Paul addresses the church in Colossae. He writes in response to a report from Epaphras, a fellow minister, concerning the life and work of that church. There were many encouraging things that were evidenced in its life, but also disturbing news of the false teaching that some in their midst were spreading, which threatened to lead its members away from the truth of Christ. Like all churches, it was not a perfect congregation, and had to deal with various challenges that came its way. Yet, in this introduction, we discover basic signs of life churches had then and should have today. And so we're going to talk about these. The first basic sign of life is this: a good reputation. Paul says in verse 3 and the first part of verse 4, "We always thank God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ when we pray for you because we have heard of you." Reputation is defined as the beliefs or opinions that are generally held about someone or something. From this definition, it is plain to see that a reputation is a difficult thing to take care of, and one cannot manufacture one's reputation. One could, of course, project an image which one hopes others will believe to be true. But, sadly, images are also quite fleeting, especially when they are really a facade. In the end, reputation seems to take care of itself, for better or for worse. Even in the church, where in some places really good things take place, while in others, quite crazy and ridiculous, even unbiblical things occur. The thing is, one cannot control what people say and think about a congregation. We can only work at being consistent in staying true to our values, as well as being theologically sound in our actions under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, which would include being faithful in proclaiming the whole counsel of Scripture, as well as being faithful in caring for all those whom God has given us to look after. Reputation is built through consistent, positive actions and interactions over time. Ultimately, what I really mean is this. Replace the word reputation with the word witness. Thus, the first sign of life was a good witness in the community as that church met in the homes of various Christians. This then brings us to the second sign of life, a faith that made a difference. Paul, in the first part of verse 4, says, "We have heard of your faith in Christ." This seems to be a reference to their spirituality and their presence in the community, something that had been in evidence for a good period of time. Faith that had to stand firm in the presence of challenging circumstances, namely pressure from false teachers who were trying to undermine their faith, but also possibly being ostracized by the community, along with verbal abuse and the threat of violence. There was thus an aspect of their faith as a congregation within their community. Faith that makes a difference does not kowtow to the pressures of society. Rather, it witnesses to the good news of Jesus Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit to bring about new creatures in a fallen world. But there was also an aspect of their faith as Christians and what that would mean for their collective future in Christ. Paul points them to their future in Christ in verses 11 to 14 as the goal of their faith. Now, linked with their faith was the third basic sign of life a church should have, a love for their fellow believers. Going back to verse 4, Paul says, "We have heard of your faith in Christ and the love you have for all the saints." Saints was a name given to the followers of Jesus. It means holy ones, not in the better than others sense, but in the sense of being set apart by God for his service. In the New Testament, saints became the Apostle Paul's favorite term for Christians. I imagine to remind them first how they ought to be in this world because of who they belong to, and second, their set-apart status for the sake of serving God. That being said, the Colossian church demonstrated a clear love for their fellow believers. Charity, if you will, does indeed begin at home. If we can't get it right at home, how will we get it right outside of these walls? And if anything tells the world around us about our faith, it is the fulfillment of the words of Jesus in John chapter 13, verse 34 to 35, where he said, "A new commandment I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." This means that the congregation in Colossae took the words of Jesus very seriously. It was a matter of faith and understanding. This understanding was no doubt informed by the notion that, through the cross of Christ, a new type of humanity was and still is being formed. Christ's life flows out to his people and is reproduced in their midst through the message of the gospel. So that, in terms of Paul's discussion in Galatians 6 verse 15 regarding the Jews and the Gentiles, in other words the two main people groups in all creation, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision means anything. What counts is a new creation. So that as a result of the Holy Spirit's activity, barriers within the body of Christ, of race, social distinction and the place of men and women would be removed in order for fellow believers to care for and to love one another in a meaningful way. In this way, they would demonstrate that they belonged to Jesus. Of course, as it was then, so it should be today, since it is a sign of life in the church. As we end, we come to our fourth sign of life, the hope of salvation. The congregation had a faith that was sound, a love for one another that demonstrated to the world that they were disciples of Jesus, both emanating or radiating from within the church as a result of a hope made certain as they placed their trust completely in Jesus. And we know that hope in the biblical sense is a confident expectation ministered to their hearts by the Holy Spirit, which would fuel their Christian lives and should fuel ours as well. It enabled them to demonstrate their faith by their new lives and enabled them to love one another in spite of their obvious differences. And Paul locates that hope or expectation as something laid up for them in heaven, which here means that the content of hope, the thing one hopes for, salvation and eternal life, are fully secured, kept for them in heaven where no power, human or otherwise, could touch it. As such, their faith and hope was not misplaced, because it was centered on Christ and would be revealed when he returns. This is our hope as well. And so faith, hope, and love, this triad or trio of virtues so often used by Paul, are brought together as the fundamental evidences for signs of life in God's church. In light of these things, Paul assures the church that they are being prayed for, that they may receive from God in their particular circumstances knowledge and wisdom and the strength to conduct themselves in a godly manner. The knowledge of God's will granted to them by the Holy Spirit would enable them to lead lives worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to Him, as they bore fruit in every good work and as they grew in the knowledge of God. What a church the congregation in Colossae was, despite their challenges. Yet while their circumstances were tough and more tangibly difficult, we have a different set of circumstances which more subtly undermines faith, hope, and love in the church. Nevertheless, may God grant us the grace to overcome them and to keep our eyes on these three basic aspects of our Christian calling: to be known for our faith by our works and our trust in God, to love one another as a witness to the community that we are indeed Christ's disciples, and finally to bear up under all things with an unshakable hope in God's salvation. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious God, our hope is in you. Our hearts belong in heaven. Our hope comes from the gospel, the word of truth that you brought to us. May it bear abundant fruit in our lives. May the whole world hear of the hope we have because of Jesus. As we grow in faith, help us to truly comprehend your grace, O God. Help us to understand this amazing grace as we seek to lead lives worthy of you. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. And God bless you.